Hare Krishna. It is a great honor and privilege and pleasure to be sitting next to Srila Niranjan Swami Maharaj at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada in the presence of Sri Sri Gaur Nithai with all of you on this most sacred and significant event. His Holiness told me that he is giving first initiation and second initiation. So I will speak a little about both. And in doing so, I will simply be chewing the remnants of the foodstuffs that His Holiness Niranjan Swami has left. As Maharaj mentioned, the holy name of Krishna is Krishna himself. As much as Krishna is a person, the holy name is also a person. And when we chant our japa, we are spending time with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has explained the meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, O Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. When we call someone's name, naturally the person will respond, yes, you called my name, what do you want? So as devotees, we will not ask for anything material. We will ask for only one thing, service, devotional service. We show our seriousness about developing our relationship with Krishna, with the holy name, by how attentive we are when we are spending our time with Krishna chanting. It's common in any relationship that if you want the relationship to develop, you have to spend time with the person. We want to develop our relationship with Krishna, with Radha and Krishna. So we have to spend time with him. And when we're spending time with him, we have to be very attentive. Even in ordinary affairs, if a husband wants to keep good relations with his wife, he has to spend time with her. Otherwise she'll complain, you never spend any time with me. Of course it could be the other way, and then if he agrees to spend time with her, but he's distracted, he's sitting with her, but his mind is on so many other things, she'll be offended. She'll be talking to you, but she'll see that your mind is somewhere else, and she'll complain. You didn't hear one word I said. So Krishna's a person, and we show our interest in him by spending time with him, by chanting, and really being attentive when we chant. At initiation ceremonies, Srila Prabhupada would almost always go through the list of 10 offenses. Because to get the real benefit of chanting, we must avoid the 10 offenses. The first is sadhu ninda, blaspheming the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that the prohibition, for example, is don't criticize devotees. But the positive approach is to glorify devotees, appreciate devotees, serve devotees. There's an offense. Well, they're all related to each other. But naturally, if the devotees are preaching the glories of the holy name, they're servants of the holy name, So if you criticize the master's servant who's sincerely serving the master, then the master will feel offended. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if you're walking on the beach in the hot sunlight, you'll feel the scorching heat more on the soles of your feet than you will on your head. So the Lord feels more pain when you offend his devotee or blaspheme his devotee than when you offend him directly. It's an offense to consider the names of the demigods, such as Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Vishnu or Krishna. The third offense is Gurur Avagya, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. And especially today, when you take your vows, you're making a serious commitment. So one should not disobey the instructions that the spiritual master gives in relation to chanting the holy names or any aspect of devotional service. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. As His Holiness Niranjan Swami quoted Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that to understand the glories of the holy name, one should hear the Vedic literatures from Vaishnavas. The Vedic literatures proclaim the glories of Krishna and the holy name. So if we don't have faith in the Vedic scriptures, or we even go so far as to criticize them, naturally the holy name or Krishna will feel offended. Then it's an offense to consider the glories of the holy name to be imaginary. Again, if someone is being glorified properly, the glorification is justified, and you say, oh no, that's not true. He's not actually that great. He's not all that great. It's an offense. Yeah, to consider the glories of the holy name to be exaggerated. It's the same type of thing. The seventh offense is to commit sin on the strength of chanting the holy name. If one engages in some sinful activity, or say before coming to Krishna consciousness, before initiation, one has engaged in sinful activities. But if one chants the holy name with feeling, without an offensive mentality, one can become freed from the reactions to the offense or the sin. It is said in the scripture that if one chants the holy name only once, he can eradicate the reactions to more sins than he is able to commit. And Srila Prabhupada remarks that the holy name has such potency. There is not the least exaggeration in such statement. But there is also the matter of the quality of the utterance. If one is trying to improve one's condition materially, he will not be able to chant with such sincere feeling. But one who has no material aspirations, he or she can chant with feeling and approach the Lord through the holy name. Now, if we take advantage of the idea that I can become free from sinful reactions by chanting the holy name, and then deliberately engage in sinful activities, thinking, I will neutralize the effects, that's an offense. It's as if you're developing a relationship with a very wealthy and powerful man, and then you try to take advantage of your relationship with him, and you break the law, and you think, oh, well, you know, I have a very rich and powerful friend, so he'll save me. That's offensive. He won't save you. He'll let you suffer the reactions so that you learn your lesson. He'll be watching over you, and he'll be waiting for you to be purified and rectified. But he won't allow you to take advantage of your relationship with him to deliberately do nonsense in the expectation that he'll save you from the reaction. The eighth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities mentioned in the Vedas as fruitive activities or karmakanda. Once Srila Prabhupada was invited by Lilavati Munshi to a program at Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan on how the problems of the world can be solved through the Bhagavad Gita. And before the program began in the auditorium, she held a get-together for the sadhus or holy men who had been invited for the conference. One of these sadhus said to Srila Prabhupada, I am gathering thousands of people together and getting them to chant the holy name. And I tell them that if they chant the holy name, they will become free from diseases and all sorts of maladies in life. He said, I am gathering people together and you are gathering people together. Yes. I am getting people to chant Hare Krishna and you are getting people to chant Hare Krishna. So we should cooperate. We should work together. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. What you are doing is against our principles. You want to make the holy name the people's servant to fulfill their demands. But actually, we are servants of the holy name. We are meant to serve the holy name. Hare Krishna. The ninth offense I asked Niranjan Swami, said I should continue.
They were clapping because it's such a profound statement.
Well, it's Prabhupada. It's Prabhupada. The ninth offense is to preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless. Once Srila Prabhupada was having a discussion with a learned man in Sweden. And somehow, in the midst of the conversation, one of Prabhupada's disciples started to speak about the glories of the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada interrupted him. He said, this is an offense. He doesn't have faith yet. So if you tell him about the glories of the holy name before he has faith, he'll think, you know, that the glories are imaginary or exaggerated. He may think that the devotees are crazy, and he'll become implicated in more offenses. In the beginning, we have to speak on the basis of logic and reason and argument. So they develop faith in the Vedic authorities. Then when they have faith in the Vedic authorities, we can tell them what the authorities say about the holy name. So we can ask people to chant Hare Krishna. That's our fundamental duty, to request people to chant Hare Krishna. But we don't tell them about the specific benefits of chanting the holy name until they have some faith in the authority of Vedic knowledge. Then the 10th offense is to not have complete faith in the holy name and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions in the matter. More or less, we all come with material attachments. It's not an offense to have material attachments. It's an anartha, but it's not an offense. But if we hold on to the material attachment, that is an offense. We know about Krishna, we know about the holy name, but we're deliberately holding on to something other than Krishna, other than the holy name, which is not favorable to our relationship with Krishna. If we had faith in the holy name, then we wouldn't hold on to our material attachment. If we had faith in Krishna and the holy name, we would know that all of our desires can be fulfilled by Krishna. Our needs and desires to love and be loved, our needs and desires just for physical security and maintenance, they can all be achieved, as Maharaj mentioned, quoting Chaitanya Charitamrita, that we can get everything from Krishna and the holy name of Krishna. But if we don't have faith, then we'll think, oh, I need this to be happy. I need that in order to be happy. Or I need to do this to make money. I need to do this to protect myself. And we become so preoccupied with our endeavors to fulfill our desires and needs through material activities that we forget Krishna, we forget the holy name. We may stop chanting as much as we should be chanting, or even if we are chanting, our minds are distracted because we're thinking of so many other things. And that brings us to the offense of pramadaha, which is translated as inattention. Because of the nature of the Sanskrit language, sometimes the 10 offenses are divided differently. You'll see even in Srila Prabhupada's books, sometimes the numbering is different because of how the Sanskrit is divided. But pramadaha can literally mean mad. We're chanting the holy name of Krishna, we're calling Krishna, and then when he comes, if we ignore him, it's a type of madness. It's as if I invite you to visit me, and then when you come, I don't let you in the door. And then I invite you again, and again I don't let you in the door. It's a little crazy. So we're calling Krishna's name, we're inviting Krishna to enter our hearts, but then when he comes, we ignore him. We leave him standing in the cold outside the door. So we should take it very seriously. When we chant the holy name, we are inviting Krishna, and we should treat the holy name with all the respect, all the reverence, all the care, all the devotion that we would show Krishna if he came personally. It's a very serious practice, but at the same time it's a very blissful activity if we really give ourselves to it. And this is service to our spiritual master. We may want to distribute so many books. We may want to do so many things for the spiritual master. But the one thing that we are vowing to do is to chant at least 16 rounds daily. Srila Prabhupada had a very talented and qualified lady disciple named Kaushalya. She was a little like Mother Yamuna. She could cook, she could sing, she could worship the deity, she could preach. And she had a very sweet and intimate relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So she arranged a program for Srila Prabhupada in Jaipur. And somehow, while riding on a rickshaw, she had a mishap and she broke her arm or her leg.
It is so normal.
But she couldn't do her normal service. And she asked Srila Prabhupada, I can't preach, I can't cook, I can't worship the deity, I can't do any of the things I used to do. What service can I do? Srila Prabhupada replied, you can chant the holy name. But I want to do some service. And Srila Prabhupada said, chanting Hare Krishna is the best service. So this is our service to our spiritual master. Once a disciple said to His Holiness Radhanath Swami that I'm so enthusiastic to do service that even while I'm chanting, I'm thinking of service. And Radhanath Swami replied, well, it's better that you're thinking of service than sense gratification. But when you're chanting, your service is to chant and hear with attention. So if you're thinking of other service while you're chanting, you're not doing your service of chanting properly. When you chant, you should be chanting, because that's your service when you're chanting. So, just a few words to the devotees who are receiving second initiation. The Bhagavad Gita says, Mam cha yo vyabhicharine bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samatitaityam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. The one who engages in unfailing, undeviated devotional service attains the platform of, without falling down, attains the platform of Brahman. So to serve the Supreme Brahman, we should be on the Brahman platform. We should be steady in chanting our 16 rounds minimum and following the four regulative principles. And when the spiritual master sees that the disciple is steady and the disciple is recommended by the authorities, then he awards second initiation to the disciple, which makes the disciple eligible to serve the deity, the Supreme Brahman in deity form. So the second initiation is built upon the first initiation. And to touch the deity, to render direct service to the deity, is also a very sacred and blissful opportunity and responsibility. So I congratulate all of you for being recipients of His Holiness Niranjan Swami's boundless mercy. You are very, very fortunate souls, and I am sure that you will take proper and full advantage of the good fortune that you have received and are receiving now. When I first walked into the hall on Friday night and Niranjan Swami was leading beautiful kirtan and so many devotees were dancing, I looked at the deity of Srila Prabhupada and I felt the deity was saying, I'm very pleased with Niranjan Swami. And I kept looking at the deity and I felt he said, you do not know how pleased I am with Niranjan Swami.
think that's good. Didn't let you think of it. I'll tell you.
No, it's not.
So then, a few minutes later, I looked again just to see if, you know, if it was my imagination or if it was still the same. So I looked again, and I felt Srila Prabhupada was saying, I am very, very pleased with Niranjan Swami. So you have the most wonderful example of your own spiritual master, how he is constantly endeavoring to please his spiritual master and how his spiritual master is actually pleased with him. So if you endeavor in the same way to serve and please your spiritual master, His Holiness Niranjan Swami, Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. And Krishna will be pleased. So this is my humble request and appeal to all of you. And I know it's your intention anyway. It's not that my request has much bearing on the matter. But still, my desire is that you give yourself fully, life and soul to the service of Srila Prabhupada through His Holiness Niranjan Swami, and your life will be completely successful. And we will be together eternally, chanting and dancing and serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And all of that is contained in these 16 words, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.